You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 27th, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com as I speak. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you right to the studio live, along with our previous Rumble cast. Now, I suggest you subscribe. That way you always have it. It's free. And you can subscribe for podcasts at larryconnorsusa.com. And then listen to them as you choose. We have a lot to be considered concerned about and dealing with in this nation. But I know many of us, unless you're a Ukrainian or you're involved in some way with Ukraine or Russia, that's kind of been pushed to the far back of your mind. Well, this story is going to bring it right back to the front. Ukrainian President Zelensky said that Russian airstrikes have hit a crowded shopping mall. So we don't know the number of victims. Rockets fired at the mall. More than 1,000 civilians are probably inside. It's on fire. Can't reach them. Has no strategic value, only to kill innocent people. We'll be seeing more on that later. January 6th committee, as you heard a moment ago on the network news, announcing it's going to hold another meeting tomorrow, another hearing. They weren't not going to hold any more. Why are they holding this? They claim they have recently obtained evidence. I'm going to call BS card right now. They're just trying to garner up more publicity, something again that they think will win for them at the polls. And that apparently is not going to work because, I'm going to give you some of this latest reading. More than 1 million U.S. voters have switched their party affiliation to the GOP over the past 12 months. Just the last 12 months. Mostly in suburbs of large and medium cities, where voters who supported Joe Biden in 2020 are struggling with inflation and everything else. Well, of course. Despite the Supreme Court ruling the other day and trigger laws going into effect at various states, some states are already facing court battles. In Louisiana, a judge temporarily blocking trigger laws, banning abortions in the state of Louisiana. That's going to continue. And in the meantime, we've got woke corporations like Walt Disney World offering free travel and help and time off for anyone who wants to go get an abortion and has to travel to another state, especially if they're in Florida. They're not going to be able to get an abortion in Florida. And one of their employees says, it seems like Disney execs have not learned their lesson from the backlash of fighting against a Florida parental rights and education bill. No, they haven't. Here's somebody else who apparently is learning things slowly, and I'm really disappointed here. New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was a police chief before he became the mayor of New York City. He talked about how tough he's going to be on crime. He appointed a gun violence czar, for what good that is. And now he's in an interview to the New York Post saying, I was shocked at how bad New York City had become after I took office. You were shocked? You were the police chief for all this time. In the meantime, in Chicago, Lightfoot's territory, 25 shot over this last weekend, 5 killed, including a 5-month-old baby girl shot in the head. Yeah, gun control laws. Good thing now New York City residents can arm themselves under the Supreme Court ruling. You don't have to have a special reason. You have the Second Amendment. Oh, and here comes a story I could not wait to get to. You gotta hear this. Pro-abortion women are calling for a nationwide sex strike against men because Roe v. Wade got overturned. outraged women going to social media in the streets, protesting and saying, we're no longer going to have sex with a man, even our husband, if Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. Well, you know what? If you're not going to have any sex, then we don't have to worry about abortions, do we? It's almost, it is laughable, the things they think that will have an impact while ignoring reality. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to put up the Joe Manchin quote in particular on his reaction, because he used the word, he said, they testified under oath. He made sure that was in his release. It sounds like you believe, okay, that he might as well be saying they lied to him, that he feels like they lied to him and they lied under oath. You think the House Judiciary Committee should begin the process of an investigation there?
If we allow Supreme Court nominees to lie under oath and secure lifetime appointments to the highest court of the land, and then issue without basis, if you read these opinions, issue without basis rulings that deeply undermine the human and civil rights of the majority of Americans.
That is AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, saying that we cannot have those coming to be nominated in front of the U.S. Senate to the U.S. Supreme Court lying about their intentions. And, of course, that was Chuck Todd of NBC Meet the Press trying to set up the trap. Say he was quoting, of course, that these justices lied. He's talking about Senator Manchin, that they didn't tell us the truth. Miss Senator Manchin did say, I kind of caught off. I thought they would probably be more for protecting it or not changing or something of that nature. He didn't say lie, but they put the words into his mouth, and AOC was more than glad to oblige and say, yes, he lied. This, of course, bears a lot of questions about all these past Democrat appointees to the Supreme Court. Do you think any of them lied? Do you think the president himself is lying at this point? I mean, how far do you want to go with this little story? But, of course, the idea is, what can we do because we're so angry over the High Court ruling that Roe v. Wade is not the law of the land anymore? Now, when they're questioned, and they do get questions like that, they get them from both sides, be they appointed, or I should say nominated by a Republican president or a Democrat president, they're going to be questioned extensively by members of the Senate. The Senate has the confirmation decision. And they're going to question about some hot topics. Now, if they've had anything in the past they've written or any prior court decisions, they'll bring those in as well. And, of course, often the line you're going to hear from many of the justices, regardless of which side, and I'm trying to be absolutely fair here, they're going to say, well, until that particular case comes in front of me and I see specifics of that case, I can't really say. And when they say something has already been, you know, it's been the precedent of the court, that's a fact. Roe v. Wade was the precedent of the court. Does not mean it was correctly decided. That's why we have appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court on various issues, sometimes involving specifically constitutional rights. That's why it's there. Be it between the states or between a citizen and citizens or corporations, whatever it be. But here's AOC more than glad to take a bite of that apple because, yes, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Barrett, they all lied. They didn't tell us that they would actually vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. I don't know if they could have told you at that point, I want to make sure it is overturned, or they're going to have to say, we'll wait and see what law comes or what case comes before us. I will remind you this, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the liberal icon of the court who just recently passed, not that recent, that's why Barrett's on the court, she had always said that Roe v. Wade was a mistake. She was not on the court in 73 when it was issued. But she did say in question about it later, no, it should not have been, it should not have gone that way. The court overreached. That's a big term to say overreached because they should have stuck with the law in hand. Well, AOC is taking a cue from overreach and also looking for a way to say, let's impeach them all.
There must be consequences for such a deeply destabilizing action and hostile takeover of our democratic institutions. To allow that to stand is to allow it to happen. And what makes it particularly dangerous is that it sends a blaring signal to all future nominees mm-hmm. that they can now lie to duly elected members of the United States Senate in order to secure Supreme Court confirmations and seats on the Supreme Court. This
is what we're
saying. Do you
think lying, at a confirmation hearing is an impeachable offense?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so. I believe lying under oath is an impeachable offense.
Would lying also constitute, not going to tell you the exact truth, I'm going to kind of dodge it because I've already got my mind made up and I don't want you to know the real fact. Would that also be impeachable, AOC? The reason I have for asking that is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Remember during her nomination, she was asked, what is a woman? Pretty simple question. She could not give the simple answer. Well, I don't know. I haven't, you know, in other words, she's not lying, but she's fudging and she's ducking around the corners and she's hiding out. She's obviously trying to conceal what her real thought is. And you know, as a member of the sitting court now going forward, there will be cases coming forward involving a woman versus something. Could she sit on such cases? Because she doesn't even know what a woman is. At least she couldn't answer the question at the nomination. What is a woman? And she couldn't give a simple answer for that. We're not even asking for you to make a ruling. Tell us how you would decide on this case. Well, I'd have to see it, and then we'll have to come in front of us. They're just simply asking, what is a woman? And she couldn't answer that. Can you impeach for stupidity? Why not? Why not? The other thing that has come up here that the Democrats are rushing all over, They're blaming all of this on Trump. We would not even have this court if it weren't for Trump. And to that, I will agree. You're right. If Hillary Clinton had been president and Trump had never served, you would not have this court. I agree. And to the other side, Republicans, even though they may have disagreements with Trump, and some have, and we're going to talk about that in more detail before we wrap up this hour, but they say despite those mean texts that some people don't like, and I thought he also should get off the text machine for a while at least, that at least when it came to one promise he said he would do, and he was going to do the best he could. He could not guarantee the justices were going to vote a certain way, but he could at least take those that would read the Constitution as it's written and not try to fabricate something like Roe v. Wade. And one of those would be Senator Lindsey Graham, says, you got to give Trump credit.
This is a huge victory for the pro-life movement. President Trump deserves a lion's share of credit here. He fought like a tiger to put three constitutional conservative judges on the court. He stood behind Kavanaugh. And all of us who've been working for the last 50 years to get this right, to have a constitutional reset, Friday was a glorious day.
It was, to that extent. And the fact being that he stood by Kavanaugh. Remember all the allegations, the slanders, the slurs, the fabrications, the lies being told to members of the Senate by those who were trying to claim that Kavanaugh molested them or set them up for a gang rape or something. If you're going to impeach a Supreme Court justice for lying, it's perjury, right? Then every one of those who made up their stories about Kavanaugh should be facing perjury charges. And so should Hillary Clinton, who lied to the FBI, and when questions got too tough, apparently was saying, well, remember, I took a stumble, I bumped my head, I don't really remember everything. I don't want to go over all of that again, but I will say, here's someone else that says it. When you're looking to give someone credit, Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, points directly to Trump.
This decision this week was a win for life, was a win for the Constitution, a win for common sense. And God bless the Supreme Court, and God bless President Trump. This doesn't happen if he doesn't put the right people on the court. I mean, this was a huge victory for life.
A huge victory for life. Now, obviously, there are many that would certainly say, yes, it's because Trump got elected. That's why we are where we are. And I would agree. But the Democrats in particular want to overlook one of their own that opened the Pandora's box, as it were. There had been an effort to, of course, and it continues to end the filibuster. And then we had former Senator Harry Reid of Arizona, if you remember, basically Judge Amy Coney Barrett got to replace Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it really because of what Harry Reid did. I said Arizona, Nevada, Democrat Nevada. Harry Reid did something that opened the door to make it easier, faster, to take a presidential nominee for the Supreme Court and make that person a member of the U.S. Supreme Court. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina.
One thing we're not talking about is Harry Reid. We wouldn't be here if Harry Reid had not changed the rules of the Senate, allowing a simple majority. Harry Reid believed they were going to have Democratic presidents forever. He took the rules of the Senate, he changed them, and those simple majority rules have led to Trump getting three great conservatives on the court. And one thing we're not talking about is Justice Ginsburg, who was a mighty voice for the liberal cause. She chose not to retire. So it was an amazing series of events that allowed us to get here today. And at the state level, to my friends on the left, you're going to have a hell of a fight on your hands at the state level, at the ballot box, and that's where this should have been all along.
That being the abortion decision should have been in the hands of each state, which it now is, by the Supreme Court ruling the other day. So they will yell and shout and point to Trump. And he does get credit. And those who supported him get credit. But also, we should all thank Senator Harry Reid for helping open the door. They don't want to talk about that. Just like they don't want to talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If she just left when Obama's trying to, here, let me help you out the door. And then, of course, Hillary didn't win the election. And I said then, I said, this is the main reason I will vote for Trump. Even though he's not my first, second, or third choice, I want him to be able to appoint the next Supreme Court justices. Two, and as it turned out, three. Senator Elizabeth Warren still angry, angry. Flaming arrows coming up. Stand by.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This court has lost legitimacy. They have burned whatever legitimacy they may still have had after their gun decision, after their voting decision, after their union decision. They just took the last of it and set a torch to it with the Roe versus Wade opinion.
The vicious words of Senator Elizabeth Warren. The court torched the Constitution because the court, by the majority ruling the other day, actually read the Constitution. If you look in the Constitution, you will find nowhere the word abortion. Nowhere. The right to an abortion does not exist in the Constitution. They simply created it back in 1973 and made it the law of the land. Now the court the other day, majority, conservative obviously, you could say that, and I say it on that basis that they would be considered conservative, but mainly they are constitutionalists. They don't try to rewrite the law of the land. They don't try to find new things that aren't in there, they go by what's in the Constitution. I know some out there are saying, well, they did rewrite it. They rewrote Roe v. Wade. No, they didn't. They didn't. They simply said it doesn't exist. And that was enough for Senator Elizabeth Warren to say that they torched the Constitution. And for AOC and others say, maybe we need to talk about impeaching some of these justices because they lied before the U.S. Senate. Indicated that maybe they would be not just fair about Roe v. Wade, but they would actually overturn it, which They did not directly answer and would not. I wouldn't expect any one of them to. And if you missed what I said earlier about the newest justice not being able to answer a question about what is a woman, you need to go back and pull up this podcast and hear it, because right there should dismiss any argument about any of these justices being impeached because they, quote, lied. Can't define a woman. And while she's talking, while Senator Elizabeth Warren is talking about burning and torching the Constitution and so forth, an historic Catholic church in West Virginia that was declared a historic site in 1984, built in 1878, burned to the ground over the weekend. It wasn't being used, so it had to be arson. And, of course, the investigation's underway. I told you last week, Homeland Security had advised the Catholic churches across the nation be aware of a night of rage targeting churches and pregnancy centers. Some pregnancy centers were hit over the weekend with graffiti and so forth. The only apparent firebombing or anything of that nature happened to be that historic church in West Virginia. But the memo stated that large groups with cells nationwide are already casing parishes, including those in California, looking for an opportunity to burn down a Catholic church. We mentioned earlier about how Trump does get credit because he got elected, and he is the one who appointed these justices that were part of this majority ruling the other day. But if you weren't on the MAGA train then, and you're now trying to come out and say, yeah, I'm all in favor, well, there's a writer at Breitbart that is going to really tear you apart before I finish today's program. But in the next segment, stories of those who survived abortions. Not only survived, but ended up thriving, but also carrying a lot of trauma. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My mother was a grieving widow of four, and she decided to cross the border to Mexico and had an abortionist attempt a DNC procedure. I was probably about 12 to 15 weeks in gestation, and it failed. She thought it was a success, but they are presuming that it was probably a twin, and I was born later that year.
That is the... Yeah, give me just a moment here. I'm just thinking about, I mean, she almost said it matter-of-factly, but you had to know there's more behind it. She's taken a lot of years to get to this point. The woman now, I think, is into her 60s, and she said her mother took her to get a DNC. Her name is Patricia Hurley. she survived an attempted abortion, and they did apparently dissect and cut to pieces one baby, which might have been a twin, as you heard her say. See, a lot of folks want to think about, you know, they let me put it this way, they don't really want to think about what an abortion involves. We'll just take care of it. You know, it's just done. It's not just done, there's a death involved. And there's a lot of trauma that goes with it. Physical trauma in some cases. And emotional trauma, most certainly for most women, either then or years later, and especially if then they can't have any children, when they really want to have a child. Biden the other day, President Biden, one of the first things he wanted to say when the Roe v. Wade decision came down was that women's health in the U.S. is now at risk. Women's health in the U.S. is no more at risk today after the Roe v. Wade than it was before. Now, for states that have and will successfully outlaw it, because the Supreme Court says you can now, they may or may not make some exceptions for incest or rape. Most of them will allow an abortion if the mother's health is in danger, so her health is not that at risk. And there's so many other things that women need treatment for. Cancer, the bladder, the breast, uterus, things of this nature, much less everything else. So abortion is not a women's health issue. It's not. It's a fetus health issue. It can become a woman's health issue if something is going wrong. But they want you to believe that you're going to have more women killed. And, of course, particularly when it comes to those on the left, they want to say this is, as Maxine Waters the other day said, we're going to have thousands of black women out here. You are not going to be allowed to take abortion away from us. To take it away from you? The stats show, from a Wall Street Journal report I have here, this is 2018. Thousands more black babies are aborted than born alive. Thousands more black babies are aborted than those born alive. And then from another source, 40% of abortions are black babies. Maxine Waters, I don't know where you're coming up with now women are suddenly in danger, as Joe Biden is trying to get you out there to preach. You heard a little bit from Patricia Hurley surviving, or why she is still alive, even though her mother went to get an abortion. She is part of the group that is the Abortion Survivors Network. One man said that his mother was a victim of rape, and thank God she decided to have him and did not abort him, gave him up for adoption, and he was raised by a loving family. Then you have the story of Melissa Olden. She's also a survivor, an Iowa native. She said, I was poisoned, scalded in the womb over a five-day period, and then I was accidentally born alive in the final step of that abortion procedure.
Abortion survivors are those babies who survive failed abortion attempts. I survived a failed saline infusion abortion back in 1977. After being poisoned and scalded in the womb over a five-day period, I was accidentally born alive in the final step of that abortion procedure.
Melissa, what went through your mind when you found out that Roe versus Wade was overturned? I'm sure this is a very emotional time for you.
It is. I am in Atlanta with my children for a convention, and the first text that I received was from my 14-year-old daughter, who is there with other pro-life teens, and she was asking, "Mom, where are you? I need to see you." She desperately wanted to hug me, and, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, because the reality is that abortion that was meant to end my life and had no constitutional basis ever impacted my own children. And so now this enters a new dawn for our country and a new dawn for generations.
She had children, and they in turn might have children. It never would have existed if she had not survived the abortion. Another one, Michaela Clay, said that she was born through an aspiration vacuum. Her birth mother did not realize how far along her pregnancy had been, so she survived the abortion attempt, which took place likely at the end of the second trimester or early third trimester. And back to the story again of Patricia Hurley, how she survived after her mother went across the border to get an abortion, because that was before Roe v. Wade. And yes, there were a lot of back alley and coat hanger type abortions, things of this nature, where not only did the baby die, but often the women did, or bled out over a period of time, or were rendered infertile the rest of their lives. When they wanted to have a child, they couldn't. And then Patricia Hurley, who survived an abortion, talks about the trauma that goes and survives with you forever.
Trauma is generational, and I think the trauma, the effects of trauma is well documented with the CDC. We know that 1 in 4 women are affected by abortion through their own experiences. And this trauma started for me in the womb, but it played out in my life. And I had 2 abortions myself. And what do you do when you go through more trauma? You try to help other people. So I went into an abortion clinic and worked there for a while. So something has to break the cycle, you know. And for me, I came to faith in Christ at 31 after I gave birth to my son. He was 4 months old. And that is what broke the cycle for me.
Having her own child broke the cycle, even though she had 2 other abortions. No way you can understand that unless you were her, and thank God she was able to have a child later. And the other woman you were listening to earlier, Melissa Olden, said, "God is a creator of life, but when it was introduced by man, and or in my case, a woman, he rewrote the story of my life around it." These are some of the survivors of abortion. The majority are silent. You'll never hear from them. 800,000 abortions a year, minimum. And 40% of them are black babies. Black children who never had a chance to contribute to our world and maybe be the one that could bring peace to the world or solve cancer, who knows what else. Coming up, the MAGA crowd, those who claim they were part of the MAGA crowd, some of them trying to step away into the dark, are now trying to come back into the light. And a Breitbart writer is calling you out, basically because you've been skirting the edges, acting like you're this, but when you're really that. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler, Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Trump issued a pretty severe smackdown to Republican haters in a statement Sunday. I just didn't have time to get to it because of everything going on, but now I do. So it was just yesterday. I didn't let it go that far, did I? He called out George Will and others by name and said, "Now listen to all these foolish, stupid people, often living in a bygone era like the weak and frail rhino, Peggy Noonan, who did much less for Ronald Reagan than she claims." And he goes on to say that the rhinos, Republicans in name only, have no idea what the MAGA movement is. Their criticism comes from a place of talentless insecurity. He said people like these are nasty, jealous, not smart, of no use to the potential greatness of our country. They talk, they criticize, they complain, but they don't have the ability or talent to get anything done. They are short-sighted losers and will never understand what it takes to make America great again. I think a lot of them do now, even Democrats, when they see what Biden and the Democrats have done with the economy and our oil and energy independence we had under Trump. But then you also look at the Roe v. Wade decision, which brings me to the piece written by Nick Nolte of Breitbart. You just heard me reading a piece there where you had Trump calling out the rhinos, which is many that will claim to be Republicans, and that's why this next time around you need to make absolutely sure those that are you're going to vote for are truly going to do what they say they're going to, because too many of them will say it and they'll talk the way they think you want to hear and what you should hear, but they're not going to deliver it. So here comes Nick Nolte, contributor, writer for Breitbart, and I want to read some of this article. It's pretty good, kind of fun at the same time. Now, I have criticized Trump. I'll be very upfront about that. I have. I probably still will. But I also recognize the value he had, especially, like I say, when it came down between Hillary or him. When it was Trump against Cruz or even Rubio and a couple of others, I wasn't that sold on it. But when it came down between him and Hillary, I said, yes, that's the guy you need to support. Now, you may or may not call me a MAGA. I don't care. It's just that he did do things right, and it made a lot of things better. He dared do what members of Congress, even by authorization, had not done for decades since his passing. That was move our U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. But then also the Roe v. Wade and the court appointments. That was the biggest concern for me. Who's going to be nominating justices going forward, Hillary or Trump? Nick Nolte writes, let me read, "If you consider yourself a pro-life Republican and you weren't on the Trump train in 2016, sit your pansy arse down." I think he used another word, but you got the idea. "Had you and your precious principles won the day, Clinton would have appointed those three Supreme Court justices instead of Trump, and Roe v. Wade would still be a, quote, constitutional right." He said Roe is dead for only one reason, the MAGA movement. Without the MAGA movement, there is no President Trump. Without a President Trump, there is no end to Roe. Elections matter, never Trump. He went on to say, "Elections matter despite constant warnings from the MAGA movement, and your support for Hillary or refusing support Trump meant losing the Supreme Court. You pansies still supported Hillary." He said, look what the Democrats and the corporate media allies did to Brett Kavanaugh, how these pigs fabricated a serial rapist narrative. He said, maybe a couple of the guys that you might have been considering would have held their ground on one of them. But you had Kavanaugh, and then also the attack on Amy Coney Barrett after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Which of the 16 would have stood beside both of them, said, I still support this candidate? He said it was all BS, and the MAGA movement finally called the fake media on it and found a candidate in Trump who agreed with us and had the sand to stick to the principles that mattered. He said, nope, Roe is dead only because of the MAGA movement. So take a bow, MAGA boys and girls, and while you're bent over doing so, tell a never-Trumper to kiss your... I think you can figure out the rest of it. You may or may not consider yourself even now a MAGA, but if it's just make America great, yeah, then I am. I am, definitely. And there are a lot of independents that are more MAGA than they were, and a lot of Democrats that were not as MAGA but now are. The numbers of enrollment in registering as Republicans increasing rapidly. Elections have consequences, so make sure you vote this November. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.